The Wisconsin Counties Association held their annual conference in La Crosse this week. We went to hear from county officials. Hello, and welcome to Hashtag Local Gov Matters. I'm Gwen Gunther, president of Wheeler Reports. Today, I'm live in La Crosse at the Wisconsin Counties Association Conference. And can you introduce yourself for me, please?
I'm Tara Johnson, chair of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors. We are thrilled to have everybody here in La Crosse County to be the host again. I would say good things happening in La Crosse County are primarily some really wonderful redevelopment and growth in our downtown area. The city of La Crosse has really seen some terrific expansion. So we have Bell Square, which is a $68 million mixed-use development of offices, retail, and 94 housing units on what was a surface parking lot for La Crosse County, generating $0 in tax revenue. So that's been great. But there's also the Hub, which is another, I think, 100-plus unit housing complex that was the old county administrative building, which is another great repurposing of a building. And La Crosse County actually has moved to the former Associated Bank building. So we've kind of got this trifecta of repurposing of properties in downtown that have boosted the property values for everybody and really kind of found next right places for all of those functions. So that's some really great stuff. Our suburban areas, Holman and others, are also doing really well. West Salem, other communities, other parts of La Crosse County are growing. And it's nice to see the city center, the core, starting to grow again as well. So that's good.
I would say here in the county,
I would say number one issue for us is how we pay for roads. La Crosse County, the board put on the November 6th ballot four referendum questions related to road funding. So we have kind of a threshold question that says, do you agree that La Crosse County should be investing $5 million a year to get at the $101 million in unmet road and bridge needs that we have right now? And then there are three questions in addition that ask, how should we pay for it? We are asking again about the PRAT, the Premier Resort Area Tax, that La Crosse County voters supported back in April of 17. We're asking that again and see how people feel about that in a November cycle. We are asking about a vehicle registration fee that for the county would need to be $56 in order to raise the $5 million that we need annually to pay for that $101 million gap that we have right now. And then the third question is, should we be looking at a pretty significant bump, about a 15% bump in the county portion of property tax bills to get at that $5 million, which would allow us to do some very short-term borrowing on an annual basis to pay for those roads. So I would say road funding for us, number one issue. Budget in general, number one issue. State funds for youth and family aids has been stagnant. Road funding has been stagnant. Juvenile justice monies have been stagnant. So we are really feeling the pinch. I feel like at the county level, we have kind of historically pulled rabbits out of hats when it comes to budgeting, and we have no more left. We are really at bare bones and need significant help to look at getting at the, you know, maintaining even the level of services that we need to maintain. So I would say funding in general, roads in particular, is what's on the mind, I think, of our community right now.
So right now, as we're standing here, it's a beautiful sunny day. It's a nice fall day. But recently, La Crosse County has had a significant amount of flooding. And how are you dealing with that? How are you moving forward right now?
Well, I would say first and foremost, I want to give kudos to not only county employees, but public employees in general who answered the call when those rains started. Everything from emergency management to highways to the health department helping people with wells that had failed. I mean, really, county government is the most important level of government when it comes to a natural disaster like that. So I want to give a shout out to public employees who really got us through those first hours and days and weeks of that disaster. I think moving forward, a couple of things. One, I don't know a graceful way to say this, but we need people to say if they need help, right? Like, we are still kind of Midwest nice around here. People whose basements were completely flooded, their driveways were washed out, their culverts were washed out, and they look across the street and see their neighbor as having it worse, and so they say, no, that's okay, I'm all right. Or somebody else has it worse, right? So we need to make sure that we know where the need is. So communicating with us, calling 211 and letting us know where the need is helpful. And then I think the second thing is just to continue what our community is really well known for, and I'm sure this is true all around the state, is collaborating and working together. So a city road worker helping out on something that might not be in the city of La Crosse, but, you know, lending expertise and not duplicating efforts. So when we are able to collaborate at various levels of local government, I think we really do well. And so I hope that continues. That's definitely what happened in the immediate aftermath of the flooding. And, you know, hopefully the gubernatorial declaration and, you know, hopefully presidential declaration gets us the emergency dollars that we need to reimburse those costs. But just a quick connect to the, you know, the $101 million that we have in unmet road needs right now, that was before the August 18 floods, right? So we have worked, we already had work to do even before the floods came.
So, yeah. Excellent. Thank you so much.
You bet.
This is Ted Cushing with Oneida County.
Hi, I'm Ted Cushing with Oneida County. I'm a county board supervisor. I've been on the county board for 16 years, formerly county board chairman. Some of the issues, two of the major issues in Oneida County, in fact, one of them is statewide, is the opioid problem and heroin addiction. And we are teaming with the three major counties up there and the tribes to get into the prosecution mode instead of the, you're on drugs, or you're going to be arrested, we're going to put you on something to help you. But the only thing that's going to stop it is to convict the people that are dealing. And that's what we're going to end up with, an extra district attorney whose sole job is to do that, which we're very happy about. As a supervisor, you're responsible for the health and welfare of the people in the county, and this is a big move forward in that direction. The biggest issue in the county right now is mining. We have, the county owns probably one of the richer, if not the richest, mining location in the entire state. And it's been a battle from day one. We have actually have referred it to a referendum. So it'll be on the November ballot. The question is, should Oneida County investigate mining on county property? And I can tell you that there's a lot of people that don't want any part of it because of its relation to the Wisconsin River, the Willow flowage. The tribes are totally against it. It goes back to their treaties from the middle, around 1850, that you can't do anything that would destroy their fishing or hunting availabilities. So that's a big issue.
So is the question whether the county should allow private industry onto the county lands to do mining?
Correct.
Okay.
Absolutely correct.
Okay.
And depending on how the vote goes in November, it's either going to be investigated, may never totally happen, but it's a question of a mining company coming in, if it gets voted yes, and making a proposal on how we can do this safely. If it can be done safely, because it's in wetlands close to the whole Willow flowage, which is part of the Wisconsin River system, so it could affect counties all the way south.
Yeah. So what good things are going on in Oneida County right now?
We seem to have a fairly high morale level in the county. We are chair the Labor Relations Employee Services Committee. We did a wage study 5 years ago. We are now doing it over again so we can become more competitive. Everybody knows the word millennial. So how do you hire them and how do you keep them?
Exactly.
And the positive things are that we're looking at the way private industry is handling it, and that's what we have to do. Because we like all counties, have a heck of a turnover. We have deputies going to Walmart to go to work.
Wow.
It gets them out of dangerous situations. It gets them out of night work. And, you know. But anyhow, overall, those are the major issues. And I would say that Chairman Hintz, he's the board chairman, he's doing a great job, and things are moving forward.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
The Wisconsin Counties Association represents Wisconsin's 72 counties at both the state and federal level. Learn more about how counties impact your community at wicounties.org.
And can you introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Jeanette Baumberg, and I'm from Florence County.
And what's going on in Florence County?
Well, a lot of exciting things are happening in Florence. We seem to have a lot of job growth. We have industries coming into Florence, and where a lot of people have seen jobs decline, we have a plentiful amount of jobs. So come see us in Florence County.
Nice. What kind of issues is Florence County facing right now?
Probably like a lot of other communities, we are struggling with the high costs of health insurance. And that's a big draw for our employees to have good health insurance. So we have to be able to balance good health insurance for our employees while maintaining good employees, you know.
So what are some of the things that your county is looking at to try and curtail some of your health insurance costs?
Well, we have a wellness program that our employees have taken part in. Our county nurse continues to come up with new ways to have wellness programs available for them.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
All right. And can you introduce yourself for me?
I'm Alan Beekle. I'm the Fond Lake County Executive. I've served in that position for 25 years.
So what good things are going on in Fond du Lac County right now?
Well, one major project we've really been pushing very hard is the renovation of the Hotel Retlove on Main Street in Fond du Lac. It's a 1924 hotel, and they're spending $25 million on renovations, and the county is going to be loaning them $1.1 million to get that project off the ground. So we're looking forward to that opening sometime in early December. Also, we're in the process of about starting to build a brand new highway garage.
Oh.
$25 million project, just the same amount. And so that the bids are out right now, and so we should be kicking that off probably around the middle of October. So those are some good things. And then the economy overall, our businesses are just booming. They're, like so many places, they're looking for workers. And but the business is there, and you know, they don't want to turn it down. So.
Excellent.
We're in a good place right now.
And what kind of issues is Fond du Lac looking at having to address?
Well, certainly we have a problem with the opioid epidemic. Methamphetamine isn't quite as bad in our area as the opioids, and in particular the transition to heroin. And so it impacts families. People who otherwise would be good parents, if they're addicted, they will not take care of the kids the way they're supposed to, end up having to have the kids removed from the home, and it's just a total tragedy. And so we have to deal with the addiction while we're trying to help the kids. The goal is obviously to get the parents back with the kids, but that has really almost snuck up on us, and it just keeps growing. It just doesn't stop.
And what kinds of things is the county doing to try and help the kids? Are you expanding your parent child care services, or what kinds of things are you doing to address that?
Well, certainly, you know, we have to sometimes temporarily remove the children. We always want to reintegrate them with family members, even if it's not the parents. It could be uncles, aunts, grandparents. So we want to make sure the children are doing okay. But then we have to work with the parents. And we do have different alcohol and drug abuse programs that we have ramped up. And we try to work on the addiction and to help these people get back into a productive life, and so we can get their children back to them.
And what kind of impact has your budget seen with all of the opioid crisis that you've got going on?
Well, it's putting a strain everywhere. The problem is we don't have a lot of funds that we can add staff, so our staff's caseload keeps rising. They've been keeping up so far, but sooner or later we're going to have to do something. But where we're going to get funds to do it, I'm not sure.
Excellent. Thank you.
Can you introduce yourself for me?
Gladly. My name is Colleen Bates, and I'm first vice chair of the Eau Claire County Board.
Excellent. And what are some of the exciting things going on in Eau Claire County right now?
Oh, we have a number of things that I think we have been really excited about this week. The Confluence Center, the Arts Center, opened. It's a collaborative effort between the county, the city, the university, private endeavors. So this enterprise of about $54 million has significant input from almost every element of the individuals who live there.
That is exciting. And what kind of issues is Eau Claire County having right now?
And well, if I look at probably the issues that we're all concerned about, it's having to do with mental health. And out of that particular element comes the opioid and methamphetamine crisis, also the individuals that have difficulty in finding placement, whether you're a behavioral health issue and looking for place in a nursing home where they don't really want you, or whether or not you're looking for a place because you have behavioral health issues in children. So we're looking to wrap up a mobile health center. We are indeed hiring individuals to be a part of that and hope to be able to create best practices to have wraparound services for families in order that we don't remove people from their homes, and that so basically no matter what part of that mental health spectrum you're talking about, you have a place to be served.
And so is there a model that you have seen for a mental health center like this that you are working off of, or is this something brand new?
We're really using evidence-based best practices. I'm not sure there's a place where everything is in one place, but we're hoping to make it community-based, which means a lot of the issues will be addressed exactly where the person lives.
Excellent.
And trying to keep it so that, again, the family stays involved and the community is more aware.
Excellent. We've done a couple of podcasts on the heroin and the methamphetamine. Are you finding that both are present in your community, or are you having problems with more of one versus the other?
We are having more of an issue with methamphetamine, unlike a lot of areas of the state. And obviously that tells us that we can't ever get to the point where we feel comfortable thinking we got it covered. There's always the need to be aware of what's happening and to be prepared to meet that need.
Is the county doing awareness programs for the public on methamphetamines?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we are. And we're doing it, however, in collaboration with our schools and with some of our other nonprofit providers. Trying to be sure that people are aware of what to look for in their children in particular. And of course, it's not just confined to young people, but all the way up the spectrum. So we have to be prepared to look at the ramifications of that. We have the largest number of suicides we've ever had in Eau Claire County this last year. Mm. And again, between the combination of the methamphetamine and mental health issues, we're quite sure that contributes greatly to what's happening there. So it's looking to see how do we intervene at a much earlier stage of whether it's the mental health issue or the drug issue.
Now, recently I've read that Eau Claire is one of the largest growing areas outside of Dane County.
Yay!
So what are you doing that's drawing people to your community?
Well, we think we're creating an economy, a creative economy, that draws companies and young people to our area. And certainly I think, you know, people are just as concerned now about what they do in their spare time as where they work. So our notion is to see how can we make our city the city you want to live in. Good schools, safety issues, making sure that's covered, and making it so that it's a friendly, inviting place to be and culturally rich.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The League of Wisconsin Municipalities advocates for Wisconsin's 600 cities and villages. speaking up for local democracy, and common sense citizen-led government. Learn more at lwm-info.org.
And can you introduce yourself for me, please?
I am Lance Plimmel, a Wood County Board Supervisor and Chairman of the Board of the Wisconsin Counties Association.
So what exciting things are going on in Wood County right now?
Well, everything going on in Wood County is pretty good. One of the big needs we had in the past few years was addressing our space needs. In this past few years, we were able to obtain about 75,000 square feet to additionally house social service staff, our health department, our parks, and many of the ancillary departments that would not be constitutional officers. So that was a great move in our direction, which allowed us the opportunity to provide services in a single location.
So what are some of the challenges Wood County is facing right now?
Well, the biggest challenge, and that probably faced by most counties, is transportation dollars. We've been behind the eight ball for a number of years now. We have taken it upon ourselves to bond about $5 million a year to try to upgrade that infrastructure before it totally fails. So long-term viable transportation funding is the number one issue that would face us. The second issue is probably related in some respects to the opioid crisis, some of the meth use in the areas. Jail space has become a huge issue. It's extremely expensive to build those new jails in counties. It's something the taxpayer usually doesn't want to invest money in, but our jail population has almost doubled in the last 3 to 4 years.
My goodness. What other kinds of issues are your services with the opioids and methamphetamines that you're seeing in your county? What other kinds of county services are being taxed?
Well, all of them are taxed. You know, the entire social service network is taxed because of that. You know, we have children, obviously, that need to be taken care of. We do have the jail space we talked about. Law enforcement itself, you know, we never have enough law enforcement officers, it seems. And it's so prevalent, it spreads itself throughout society, and it's creating quite a problem.
And are you seeing both opioid and meth, or are you seeing one more than the other?
I think we tend to see a little more opioid use, but we're kind of in that middle part of the state where those two tend to meet. And I don't think our problem is as bad as it is in some parts of the state, but whether that be in the courts, whether that be in law enforcement, or whether that be in the jails, it's certainly taxing the system.
And what kinds of things is the county doing to try and help people understand the two drugs and how it can impact their lives? What kind of programming are you doing?
Well, we have a number of educational opportunities throughout the county where we talk to different groups, you know, both in the schools, fraternal and charitable organizations. We try to get out in front of people. That's difficult. And then to address it from a cost standpoint, electronic monitoring has been a tool that we've used greatly in our county. Our adult drug treatment court, we are one of the pilot programs in the state. We've continued to expand that. But if I had to ask the legislature and the governor for more dollars, it might be in those diversion programs.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Introduce yourself for me, please.
Well, I'm David Bartlett from Dunn County, Wisconsin.
And what kind of things, new and exciting things, are going on in Dunn County?
Well, we're going to get a new sheriff this year. We've been working real hard with CJCC and reentry program. Working on that. We're also working on housing for people coming out of jail, and working on mental health issues in the jail. Quite a bit of that stuff is what we're working on for new stuff.
And what kinds of challenges is Dunn County having right now?
Endangered children, mostly from meth families, drug stuff. Right now, we're $1 million in the red in that part of our health and human services budget for this year. And so that'll mean that we're going to have to use fund balance this year to balance this year's budget. And we're going to have to come up with another $1 million for next year's budget.
And how do you go about coming up with those funds? What are you looking at doing?
We're probably going to end up cutting other services that are all good services, but they're not mandated, and we're going to have to decide what the priorities are.
All right. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And can you introduce yourself for me?
I'm Tom Egan, Vice Chairman of the Winnebago County.
And what exciting and new things are going on in Winnebago County?
There's a lot of exciting things. Of course, the big thing was the new I-41 corridor that went through there now, which has done a lot for our county. Of course, we've got our budget coming up. I don't know if that's really exciting yet or not. We haven't seen it all yet. So them are the main things that we're really working on right now is the budget, getting ready to put that through.
And what are some of the challenges the county's facing as you're putting your budget together?
Well, new airport we're thinking about doing. That would be one of the big things. Roads, I think that's the problem with all counties, is an awful big concern on how we're going to pay for new roads that needs to be done.
Are you short on your road funding right now?
No. But it's a continuous thing. It seems like they're always breaking up and you need this. And there's always things on roads that there always just seems like you need the money for. You know, that goes and something else got to be shortened or whatever.
How about the opioid or the methamphetamine crisis? Are you seeing that in your county? Are you having problems?
Yes, we're seeing some of that. But I think that we're really getting a good handle on that. But here again, I think everyone's got that problem. But it seems like they've got a real good task force going on that in Winnebago County, including all the rest of the counties around with them are working together.
So you have a collaborative effort rather than trying to do something on your own to face the opioid and meth crisis.
Yes.
What kinds of things are you collaborating with and doing?
Well, they're going ahead and they've got regular task force that are going ahead and doing that, which Winnebago County has on its own. And then from there, of course, the Sheriff's Department takes it over from there, so I can't tell you exactly what's all going on that.
Are you having problems in your county budget with the opioids and the methamphetamines taxing out services and needs that you're having to short other parts of your budget right now?
No, I don't believe so, but we haven't really started our budget yet. But as of other years, no.
All right, perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And can you introduce yourself for me?
Jeannie Dodge.
And where are you from?
Portage County.
So what new things or what growth and kinds of things are you seeing in Portage County?
We're very surprised at the amount of sales tax that was generated in the month of August.
Ah.
So we think there's a little fluke there. We're waiting to see how September goes.
Okay, so you're hoping that it's not a fluke and you're hoping that there's some growth going on in your county.
Exactly.
And I assume Portage County is putting together their budget right now.
We are.
And what kinds of things are you looking at as you're putting together? What are some of the challenges you're being faced with?
There's not enough money.
There's never enough money. What kinds of things are you having to look at? Are you dressing, or what kinds of things are eating up the most of your budget?
I'm on Health and Human Services Board, and child welfare is definitely a huge pressure for us. And it relates, of course, to drug use and parents not being able to raise their children. We also have an issue. Our nursing home has been running a deficit for several years. And so there is pressure. We're having a referendum to see if the taxpayers will allow us to raise the levy to support continuing operation and ownership of the county health care facility.
And if that referendum doesn't pass, what does the county have to look at? What are your options?
We could do a public-private partnership. Could try to sell the facility. We do have an issue that came up recently. There is another nursing home in Stevens Point, but they are now in receivership, so we don't know exactly how that's going to impact the whole community, actually.
When does your county hope to have their budget done?
We hear from the county executive on the 2nd of October.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And can you introduce yourself for me, please?
Yeah, my name is Vern Gove. I'm the Columbia County Board Chairman.
And what kinds of things are going on in Columbia County right now?
Well, right now, it's the main thing is putting the budget together for next year. We just got through doing a four-year building project, $46 million that's completed, and everybody's where they belong. That's the big item for our county right now.
What kinds of problems is Columbia County seeing right now?
Well, we had 4 opiate heroin deaths and 2 suicides in a month, last month. So that's my big concern, and it's the sheriff's department and all the police department's concern too, as to what's going on with that.
Now, Columbia County just built a new building, right, in the center of Portage?
Right.
And how's that building coming along?
Oh, it's great. It's the administration building, Health and Human Service, and then we remodeled the courthouse. It was $46 million, so everybody's in their new buildings now, and everything's going along pretty well.
Okay.
Hi, this is Michelle Thompson. I'm here with WCA Executive Director Mark O'Connell, and we are talking about the 2018 WCA Annual Conference. Mark, can you tell us a little bit, why is a WCA Annual Conference such an important event to hold every year?
Well, it's an important event because it's an opportunity for nearly 1,000 county officials around the state to get together and talk about successes, and probably more likely and more common, challenges. The challenges we face in county government are the challenges of society. So if we can tackle these in partnership with the state and our friends in cities, towns, and villages and school districts, then we've got a better chance, a better opportunity to position our state for future success. And that's what many of the conversations we'll have here at this conference will be about. Some of the challenges we face right now, opioids is a major challenge. Methamphetamine is a major challenge. Children need protective services and child welfare, major challenges. And then we have the infrastructure challenges. We have the soft infrastructure challenges of broadband, but we have a major challenge in our state in regard to surface transportation. Those are the issues that are foremost on county officials' minds today.
So, Mark, education and outreach are always a priority of the association. Why do you think it is so important that people are continually being updated, aware of what's going on in the state?
Well, the more and better information that an individual has, whether you're at the federal, state, county, city, town, village, school district, whatever level you're at, the more and better information you have, the better decisions you will make. So as an association, we care deeply about providing an environment and opportunities, mechanisms, where we can convey as much knowledge as people would wish to consume, and with the result being better decisions.
So what do you think how will issues that are discussed here transfer over to our legislative activities with, you know, we've got a new legislature coming in January, a state budget that will be introduced, how will that change or be impacted?
Well, the state and county government are really true partners when it comes to serving the citizens of our state. Our state legislators depend upon county government to carry out many of the state programs that our legislature and governor have decided are needed or desired by our citizens. We deliver those services, so working hand in hand with the state is critically important if the services and programs are to be successful. The conversations we have here today will translate into productive conversations with the legislature as we try to fashion the most efficient and effective program and function and service that the state desires that we can carry out.
Mark, can you just give us a little 101 on what is the Wisconsin Counties Association?
Wisconsin Counties Association is a lobbying organization. We lobby at the state and federal level, trying to accomplish anything and everything that county government desires. We represent all 72 counties in Washington, D.C. and in Madison, and work to advance the interests of county government.